My name is Ziming Chu, Dr. Z, Microsoft Architect Evangelist. We are here at TechEd 2010 at New Orleans. With me today is Bob German. We are going to talk about creating Silverlight applications for SharePoint. But before we get started, Bob, could you introduce yourself?
Sure, I'd be glad to. My name is Bob German. I work at the Microsoft Technology Center near Boston, Massachusetts. And my job there is to help customers to design and architect solutions around SharePoint. So I've been working with SharePoint for a long time. In fact, it was called Site Server 3.0 when I started, just to give you an idea of how long, and doing a lot of development work along the way. My latest passion is to bring Silverlight into the picture. I've been having a lot of fun with that, and that's why I came here to TechEd, was to talk about that.
Bob, as you kind of touched on that in the introduction, there's tremendous interest in writing Silverlight applications for SharePoint. But as we know, SharePoint 2010 provides sort of out-of-box support for Silverlight. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, SharePoint uses Silverlight itself if it's available on the desktop. So if the user hasn't installed Silverlight locally, then it gracefully sort of shows a HTML rendering. But if you do have the Silverlight installed on the client, things like creating new lists, creating sites, browsing the organization, the Word and Excel and PowerPoint viewers that are part of the Office web components, all those things light up with a much richer UI inside of SharePoint if the client side is available and installed. Part of the idea there is that if an enterprise doesn't want to install that on the desktop, users can still make full use of SharePoint 2010. But I think that most enterprises will opt to deploy the Silverlight browser runtime so that the user can actually get the full experience. In addition to that, there's actually an out-of-the-box Silverlight web part that comes with SharePoint 2010. So if you have just an XAP file, a ZAP file, which is where the output that Silverlight produces, and that, you know, actually it's a CAD file that has the DLLs and things inside that are necessary to run your application. If you have one of those ZAP files, you can just upload it into SharePoint and configure this out-of-the-box web part to point to that ZAP file, and you're off and running. And so to do that, you don't need any special permissions or anything on the SharePoint side, so it's a very easy deployment.
This is a really good summary, Bob. But for developers, how can they get started with writing Silverlight applications for SharePoint?
Well, the setup is pretty easy in terms of tools. Visual Studio 2010 has all of the SharePoint development capabilities built in, as well as Silverlight 3 capabilities built in. Most of the work is going to be the same as setting up a SharePoint development environment. You're going to have SharePoint directly on the developer's workstation or server. So it has to be 64 bits. And you're going to put Visual Studio. I like to use Silverlight 4, so then you're installing the Silverlight 4 SDK. And that's it. Expression Blend is a nice add if you want to do some more visual design work with the with Silverlight. But that's optional, really. You can actually get going with Visual Studio.
Are there different ways of writing Silverlight applications for SharePoint?
I mean, certainly there are many different ways to approach extending SharePoint with Silverlight. Web parts are probably the most popular, and so everybody knows about web parts in SharePoint.
And you mean Silverlight,
it's very easy to
web part for SharePoint.
You can either use the out-of-the-box Silverlight web part for SharePoint, or you can write your own web part that renders the object tag to put the Silverlight on your web part. Okay. And then you can write connected web parts if you wish. You can also write a thing called a field control, which is the thing that it's a way of editing and rendering fields in a list. So when somebody goes to edit the list, they're going to see your Silverlight application and interact with that to set up some field in the value inside of a list. You could use it in a master page. You could use it in navigation. You could use it just in an application page. So all of the pages, the whole pages that SharePoint lights up under the layouts directory, you can write your own. You could even write a whole application in there and use Silverlight freely in that. So really anywhere that you see user interface being rendered inside of SharePoint, you could be putting Silverlight into
it. Silverlight applications inside SharePoint, they consume data, or maybe they provide data to some other applications. So how does that really work?
Well, actually, there's a lot of new options for accessing the data inside of SharePoint from the Silverlight that's actually now running on the client once you put it inside of your web part or whatever. So traditionally, even in SharePoint 2007, there were web services available that are part of SharePoint that you can access from Silverlight. And another technique that's actually a favorite of mine is to use the HTML bridge. So Silverlight allows you to actually access the web page directly. And that can save round trips to the server, so you can get a lot more performance and put less load on your server by just packaging up some data on the web page in maybe a hidden field and letting Silverlight reach into the web page using the HTML bridge to render that data. That's also an interesting way. There are times when you need to do that when you're posting back a page. Like if you're writing a web part editor, which is the little, it's actually called an editor part that slides out when you edit a web part, or if you're writing a field control or an application page, you may want to post back some data along with some non-Silverlight fields that are on the page. And so your user isn't going to expect that the Silverlight data gets updated immediately and the rest of the data gets updated when they click the OK button or what have you. They're going to expect all of it to be updated at the same time or to be able to click cancel and not update any of it. So in that case, the HTML bridge is your friend, because you can just use a hidden field once again, push some data into that hidden field, and let that post back naturally along with the rest of the page so that the user gets that expected experience. So those have been available. Those two techniques have been available all along. And also, of course, you can write your own web service. But SharePoint 2010 introduces some really great new ways to access the SharePoint data from your Silverlight application. One of them is a client object model. So SharePoint now has a comprehensive client object model that allows you to get at list data, sites, and a number of other things, including security, from the client. And there are three flavors for the client object model. So there's a managed code flavor for use in maybe a WPF or console application. There is an AJAX model for use from JavaScript, and there is a Silverlight version, which you can put right into your Silverlight solution. And it's a very, very powerful object model that you can use. Another method is to use RESTful services. So we now support OData inside of SharePoint 2010 to access list data. So this is actually called WCF Data Services or ADO.NET Data Services. It's kind of the two names seem to be somewhat interchangeable. I think they're moving from ADO.NET to WCF. So if you see one, you kind of know it's both the same thing. But you can actually do full CRUD updates, and access all the data. And it's also a good if you want to page through data or if you want to have very tightly type safe access to the data inside of SharePoint. That's really the best way to do it. It's a great technique because Visual Studio will actually, when you add your service reference, it will automatically generate proxy classes for the Silverlight side that will pull that data in and allow you to manipulate it through the objects. So it's a very, very simple and straightforward way to access the data. So all those methods are available for accessing data in SharePoint. And then, of course, you could also access data in other places, like OData is open to many different places, including SQL Server. Web services are ubiquitous these days, so all of that is available to you. And it's kind of interesting because in some cases you might not be able to access the data from the server side because maybe you don't have permission or what have you, but you can access it from the Silverlight side where you're running right on the client's desktop.
I want to shift the gear a little bit, just talking about the deployment. Are there any special considerations for deploying Silverlight application to SharePoint?
No, it's pretty simple. I mean, in SharePoint 2007, there were a couple of web.config changes, and you had to specifically enable the MIME type for the ZAP file in order to deploy that. I think that was done by default if you were on IIS 7. If you were on IIS 6, you had to enable that manually. But in SharePoint 2010, this is all done for you automatically because SharePoint uses Silverlight itself. It's already done all that for you. So you really just need to get your ZAP file up onto SharePoint. You can either upload it manually into a library, but for most developers are going to want to use what's called a module, which is a way of declaring inside your web solution package that you want a file deployed up into SharePoint. You can deploy it right into the content database so that it doesn't actually even go into the server. so that it will work in a sandbox solution, which is a new programming technique that's available inside of SharePoint 2010, where people can upload a solution that runs in an isolated sandbox. So it's much, that's a whole discussion in itself, I suppose. But anyway, both of those techniques will work, and there's really nothing special that you have to do to set up.
SharePoint 2010 supports sandbox service. So how does that really, that new feature helps your Silverlight deployment?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that. I think sandbox solutions are going to be a big game changer for SharePoint in general. And Silverlight's a great complement to these sandbox solutions. Basically, the concept is instead of having to get a farm administrator to install the to install your custom code directly on the servers, on the web servers, you can now allow site collection administrators, much less permission, to upload solutions into a site collection and run them there. So, and then there's resource governors to make sure that it's not going to degrade the performance of the rest of the server if it uses too much memory I/O or CPU. It can be shut down if it uses up too much of its resource allotment. So I think this is going to change the whole landscape, really, for ISVs who are writing code for SharePoint, because you'll be able to have kind of app stores where a business user could literally plug in their credit card, purchase a web part, and upload it and run it without having to go through an IT administrator, without having to convince IT that perhaps a small software house has produced something that they would trust, or get on some approved vendor list. You can just upload this thing without those permissions, and the IT administrator is confident that it can't affect anything because it's running in a sandbox. The only problem with it is that there's very limited things you can do, obviously, inside of these sandbox solutions. You can access the SharePoint API on behalf of that one site collection, and that's about it. So Silverlight is a natural complement, in my view, to sandbox solutions. Because guess what? It's also a sandbox, except the sandbox is running on the browser. And it has another whole set of capabilities to pull in data from external data sources, to render things in very rich ways, to interact with the client, isolated storage, webcam support, microphone support, etc., that you couldn't do any other way. And yet you still are just in a partially trusted environment where you don't have to worry that the software is going to damage the client or the server in any way because they're both in a sandbox. So I think this is going to open up doors for a lot of people who want to develop solutions and sell them into this marketplace directly to the business users who are utilizing SharePoint.
Are there any demos, Bob, that you can show us, you know, how SharePoint, Silverlight works in SharePoint?
Absolutely, I'd love to. So for instance, this is a custom web part built in Silverlight, and it's actually consuming the OData service from a contact list. So I just have the out-of-the-box data grid, and I can sort and page through the data, as you can see. And I can also filter. So if I want to look for everyone with 425 area code, for instance, I can get all of those, or everyone who is in sales. And, you know, the sample code is up on the code gallery to see how to do this, but it becomes extremely simple with all the tools that we've discussed here today. So here's another example. This is a picture viewer web part that shows the pictures in a picture library, and you can kind of get some fading effect as you move through. But what's nice is this can run full screen. You can also print the pictures if you wish, or you can install this to run out of browser. So that's another nice feature that's available in Silverlight, is to run out of browser. This also shows one other thing, which is I'm actually sending all the picture data on the web page. And so this next, when I click on this, you'll actually see a comparison. On the left, I'm pulling the data off of the web page, and on the right, I'm pulling it out of the client object model. It's not to say that the client object model is slow, but it does take an extra little bit of time for that extra round trip. So that's something that you want to think about when you're designing your solutions. So this is one that shows off the new webcam support that's in Silverlight 4. And I think it really shows off the fact that what you can do with these two sandboxes. By the way, everything I've shown here is a sandbox solution. So if I click Capture, Silverlight's going to pop up and say, is it okay for me to access your camera? Because you obviously don't want web pages taking pictures of you without your knowledge, right? And so, hey, there we are doing the demo. And all I have to do is give this a name, and you have a good name for it. I'll just call the file Z and click Save. And that'll actually put that right here into SharePoint so that I can actually take a look at that picture. So this could actually have practical use probably for ID badges or some other kind of application, but it's also just a lot of fun to show the capability of these two products working together.
Yeah, that's really great. Bob, I want to thank you for taking the time to showing us really the good stuff, you know, Silverlight and SharePoint. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.